Every 180 years, in terrestrial time, every one of our planets align on the same side of the Sun. Starting in 1977, until 1982, this will happen so that every planet is in conjunction with every other planet. Throughout this period, we'll find the planets beyond Mars become more accurately aligned. In general, a simple alignment between two or three planets, 11 years apart, causes some dramatic effects on sunspots. They're more intense, thus affecting the Earth's tides and attractional influences. Some astrologers mark the beginning of a new age by the occasion of the grand alignment when Jupiter aligns with Mars, and the Moon is in the seventh house. The age of Aquarius begins. Peace and love is the logo for it. Unfortunately, this will also be marked by a major slip of the San Andreas Fault, and most likely it will be the Los Angeles section of that fault to move. Not only that, but to make matters more intense, around that time, Halley's Comet will return as an added attraction. This is what Jesus meant in Matthew 24, when he said that the powers of heaven would be shaken. Such an alignment provides everyone with a royal chance for space vehicles to be sent from one planet to another. In your world, there are already some preparations for NASA space launchings. And, as I've mentioned several times before, by that time, flying saucers will become a natural thing. You said I'll find some scientific evidence to support what you're saying? Yes, the same way we've been doing. For one thing, it's in your Bible, chapter 24 of Matthew, verses 5 through 11. There, Jesus Christ talks about the prophecies of Daniel for these times. Same thing, famine, earthquakes, pestilences, wars, false prophets, abomination, desolation. In general, once you read one, you've read them all. Now wait. In the same chapter, verses 29, 30 and 31, Matthew tells us about the tribulation, the darkening of the sun, stars falling from heaven, the Son of Man coming with power and glory and the angels gathering his people. Rama, you're right. They do all say the same thing. Okay, good. Now, let's analyze the Fatima message with the understanding that UFO phenomena is common knowledge. Rama and I used the Fatima message as a guide to organize our thoughts. Sometimes when we wanted to explain a concept, but didn't have the terminology for it, we would use another language to choose the phrase or word that best described what we wanted to say. At other times, we would use the language of mental images. Often a single flash could explain more than an hour's conversation. The translation we used from the Italian version, which I found in Stop magazine, was this author's. To the best of my ability, no phrase or meaning has been altered. Rama said, "Read the first paragraph. Don't be afraid, little girl. This is the Virgin Mary talking to you, asking you to make this public message. Listen well and pay attention. What do you think that means? Some outer space creature who landed near Fatima, Portugal. She saw the children were believers of Christ, and told them she was the Virgin Mary so they wouldn't freak out. Good boy. Trademark repeating what you said. That's what I mean. You learn fast, you're a good student." This sounded so phony and unbelievable to me that I had to sneer when she made that remark. But I continued reading. "Mankind must make some amendments, repent and ask forgiveness. You wish me to give some proof so people can accept these words that through you, I'm sending humanity. You've seen the miracle of the sun as well as thousands. I foresee that a great punishment will fall upon the entire human race. Not today or tomorrow, but in the second half of the 20th century." What did she have in mind by making amendments and humbly repent, ask forgiveness? I asked. She was simply saying, give peace a fair chance, start walking the paths of truth and goodwill, especially with your fellow human beings, basically, repeating the words of Jesus Christ when he said all the commandments could be kept by keeping only the first two, love God and love other people. Aha. I can see that the little girl also asked for proof. What did she get? The sun turning pale, spinning 3 times on its axis and power diving towards the Earth. But you told me you people don't give any proof or demonstrations. That was just a little attention-getting device, enough to make a few people react. Why wasn't it given more publicity? We've discussed that. Let's just say the World Series was getting most of the news coverage in those days, even though there was a correspondent for one of the major news services from the United States present. As for the rest of the paragraph, it's pretty self-explanatory. Not today or tomorrow, but in the second half of the 20th century. You know how to count. This is August, 1974. Order is absent in this world. That doesn't need further explanation. All you have to do is turn to your news media, radio, television, newspapers, magazines. Go on. Satan reigns everywhere, and is the mastermind of world affairs. All I have to say about that is, it's the honest-to-God truth. Satan, or if you prefer, the evil forces of the world, have been ruling world affairs for quite some time. That's the result of so much hate, blood, war and power thirst among the nations and businesses on this planet. It says that he will climb to the throne of the church. This is going to shatter the hopes of millions of people who expect their church to guide them toward peace, but will get only deceit. We can safely say that the church we see mentioned here has already begun to crumble. By the way, Malachi, the prophet, predicted that by these times the church will no longer exist. When Pope John XXIII opened and read the Fatima message, I bet he wasn't very eager to tell the world that Satan was going to be taking over his church. I ask you, if you were making a deliverance speech, would you tell your audience that you get your kicks by taking nude pictures of underage girls, or that you're about to go to jail now because of it? No, I wouldn't. I hope that answers your question as to why the message was never made public. Is it true Satan is taking over the church? When you go back to the United States, look up some of Hal Lindsey's books. This whole concept will be more clear to you. What are those books? Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, the late, great planet Earth, There is a New World Coming, Liberation of Planet Earth, and another book by Zola Levitt and McCall, Satan in the Sanctuary, would be a good one to read. I made a note of the titles as Rama gave them to me, then we continued analyzing the Fatima message. You don't have to be privileged or a super genius to see that the church no longer has the religious strength to guide humanity toward peace, Rama said. It's true that this particular church has enough strength to impose its will upon governments, but it hasn't been able to turn people onto the teachings of Jesus Christ. This is due to the fact that corruption and deceit have taken over the church. It doesn't work for the human soul anymore, but for politics, war, and the worst kind of corruption. I see. It also says here, referring to Satan, that he will seduce the spirit of those who invent and manufacture the weapons with which it would be possible to wipe out the entire human race in minutes. In 1917 it would have seemed fictional to talk about megaton, atomic and hydrogen bombs. But today you live in cities with radioactive proof underground shelters. Do I need to comment on this? No, not really. It says here that he will have power over statesmen in many nations, instigating them to fight and manufacture warfare like crazy. You've just said that we'll see war, revolutions, crime and politicians at work just by watching the media. The next part of the message says she won't be able to hold her son's arm, and then God's wrath will fall upon man with severity such as humanity has never known, not even in times of deluge. When she said that, she was announcing the second coming of Christ, and all the events that are to precede it. Pretty much of this message can be found in Daniel, Revelation and the 24th chapter of Matthew. Yes, but here is where we're going to mention some scientific facts. You asked me before if you'd be able to study this. I'll tell you where to find your proof. Let's see how your planet is doing internally. Columbia University scientists have made some information public about a gigantic fault nearly 144,000 miles long, 64 miles wide and 4 miles deep, It goes from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. It surrounds the American and Asiatic continents. In the middle of the Pacific, you have what is known as the Ring of Fire, the weakest part of the Earth's crust, a volcanic belt extending from the southern part of Chile in South America, along the coasts of Peru, Ecuador, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico, California, Vancouver, Alaska, and I think it completes this circle with the islands of Japan, Krakatoa, Sapporo and others in the southern Pacific hemisphere. Could you believe that this 90,000 square miles of planet could be torn apart, snatched away from the Earth? The attractional force of Herculebus could put enough pressure on it so that this weak part of the Earth's crust will fly away into space. It's hard to believe that could really happen. Where would all that mass of land and water go? It will be caught by the Earth's attraction. It will be this planet's new moon. Don't look so surprised, because I'm going to point out scientific evidence. That's the only way you're going to convince me. Just to mention a few, Baja California is moving west at the rate of 2 inches per year. The Yucatan Peninsula is rising above its sea level. The ocean in California is rising. The system of faults along the San Andreas in California is the most active on the entire planet. Most of the earthquakes in the American continent seem to have their origin along these faults: Fairbanks in Alaska, Los Angeles, Silma in California, February 1971. Remember the 1970 earthquake in Lima, Peru and the one in Chile in 1960. The continental drift and the mid-Atlantic ridge give us evidence of some under-ocean activity. That's the reason for the separation of the continents, two land masses gradually drifting apart. Studies have been done on samples that were taken of the coasts of eastern Brazil and western Africa. They match. As I mentioned before, you can fit several continents together like a puzzle. Ice has been building on the polar surroundings. This ice will melt and fill the oceans. Weak parts in the lithosphere will break and give way. It's already happening. Right now, ocean water is seeping into the interior of the Earth, where temperatures range from 4,000 degrees centigrade to 6,000 degrees temperatures so hot that fire liquefies. Needless to say, this will cause pronounced seismic activity. Read the first two verses of Revelations, chapter. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The whole ninth chapter of Revelations talks about these things. I could go on and on with this list. But what I want to impress upon you is that the physical constitution of your planet is in constant activity, volcanic, seismic, cosmic. Don't think for 1 minute that it would be impossible for a continent to go under, or for a new moon to be born. It's happened before, to Atlantis and Lemuria. It's what caused the birth of your present moon. Each of these events took place when Herculebus completed one of its 6,666 terrestrial year cycles. You know, Rama, there's a movie out about what you're saying. It's called The Restless Earth, and it illustrates the volcanic belt called the Ring of Fire. Tell me about California being knocked into the ocean. You said I could get scientific facts on this. Get a copy of the book, The Jupiter Effect, by John Gribben and Stephen Pledgeman, Walker & Co., New York, 1974. It's a new book, just released. That's the one you should read in order to get the benefits of what you're going to learn today. The work is a series of geological and scientific studies around the San Andreas Fault in California. It will give you further reading suggestions. If you look at a map of North America, you'll see that the long strip of Baja California is moving northwest. Are you saying it was once a part of the mainland? That's right. How did it separate? Imagine a piece of bread with some jelly on it. The jelly would be the land, and the bread the continental shelf. Half of it is covered with water, which is the Pacific Ocean. Now, pull your piece of bread down to the right with one hand, and up to the left with the other. You're going to break the bread and separate the jelly. Some of it will break from the main mass on the right, and will start floating on the left. Whatever strip of jelly moves away from the main mass would be the equivalent of the Baja California Strip, opening the Gulf of California. The crack on your piece of bread would be the continuation of the San Andreas Fault, eventually tearing apart from the mass of jelly. Los Angeles is only 420 miles away from the tip of the water in the Gulf. In between these two points, you have the Salton Sea, indicative of some underocean and underground activity. When the peninsula traveled northeast due to the movement of the continental shelf, it collided with the main coast of North America near Los Angeles. Great blocks of the jelly's crust are being forced around the knothole of what would be the equivalent of the southwestern mountains of California, the San Bernardino Riverside area, forming the big bend of the San Andreas Fault, an area where a great deal of pressure is building every day and which will be released by the next big California earthquake. Geologically speaking, Southern California is 10 times more active seismically than the rest of the planet. Rama, I'm going to check this very carefully. I want you to take the 2 years you promised me to study these things. I'm fascinated to see how you put prophecy and science together. All the Fatima message and the ninth chapter of Revelations are saying is that the time is coming close when the internal pressure of the earth will get to the point of exploding. Any phenomenon could cause the releasing of this pressure: nuclear bombs, solar and lunar gravitational forces, or the encounter with a celestial body some 3,200 times larger than the Earth, along with the alignment of the other planets and the visit of Halley's Comet. There will be a great explosion in the ocean. The sky will be covered with smoke, steam and ashes. The entire globe will vibrate. There will be volcanoes erupting all over the place. The climate will get colder because the polar ices will rush toward the equator, cooling the atmosphere. As a result, you'll get floods, cities falling into the ocean, tidal waves. It's the grand entrance of the Age of Aquarius. Aqua in Latin means water. This is going to be the very end, isn't it? I don't think humans will be able to survive a cataclysm of such magnitude. What you're seeing today are nothing but the preliminaries. Now, continuing with the message, it says that a great war will break out in the second half of the 20th century. Do I have to comment on that? We've already had our chat on Armageddon. I remember. I ended up tired. This is all too heavy for me. No, it's not. It gets even heavier. Listen to this, people will be jealous of the dead. No RNA to where you look, you'll see only anguish, misery and ruins. In Revelation 9-6, it says that in those days men will try to kill themselves, but will be unable to. Death won't come. They'll long to die, but death will flee away. Rama, I get the same imagery out of both readings. Can you throw a little planet Earth meaning into it? During the final judgment days, everyone must be alive. Remember when they used to tell you that Jesus would come to judge the quick and the dead, the resurrection of the dead? When Hercules comes near, some very strange things will begin to happen. Like not being able to die. The moon also affects people, right? You've heard of lunatics and werewolves, men turning into beasts during the full moon. Can you imagine the psychological and physiological effects that Hercules will have on people? People killing each other in the streets, only no one will be able to die. I can only say that this God we have defined as the eternal thought of creation has prepared things in such a way that in those days of judgment, people can't be dead. All souls from all times will be present during the last judgment. Perhaps the population explosion is a preparation for appearing before the great judge. Everyone will be reincarnated from all their previous lives. You are. Now that corresponds to what I was told about doomsday. The resurrection is everyone being here, reincarnated from previous lives. It's a little hard to accept that people won't be able to die. Not that I doubt you, but it defies all natural phenomena I've ever known. What would happen to me if I were to shoot myself in those days? You could be wounded, but you wouldn't die. That would be horrible. Your mind cannot conceive the terror, desolation, abomination, famine. And yet not being able to die. I get the chills just listening to you talk about it. What about the 144,000 who you say will be spared? When will they be saved? During the rapture. It's here in the Fatima message. As I told you yesterday, those who choose to repent and serve God will see the glory of it. Those people will get a seal on their forehead. I'm quoting the Bible, Revelation 7:3. Sealing the forehead, in symbolic language, means that 144,000 people will receive wisdom and understanding, making them repent of their sins. This is the group who will start loving and helping others, even in the most terrible of times. So don't expect someone to come and rubber stamp your forehead. How are they going to be given this chance? That's where we extraterrestrials come in. We're the apocalyptical angels sealing foreheads. We're the servants of God, preparing the ground for the second coming of Christ. But we're nothing but people, as you can see. People from other places in the universe, who will be contacting people from every walk of life. Everyone will have their chance, regardless of what they were before. Even if one was the biggest Jesus hater? Yes, as long as he repents. Would we have to embrace a certain religion or cult to get this seal of wisdom and understanding? No, not at all. So why all this Christian stuff? I'm sorry, but I still get angry when I sense Christ is being shoved down my throat. If I say to you, follow Jesus's teachings, that doesn't mean you have to embrace a religion. You people on earth have made religion a screwed up mess in this part of the universe. Rama put emphasis on her words, letting me know it turned her off that we made a business out of religion. In fact, the whole idea of religion seems to turn her off. Hey, wait a minute, Rama, I said. Don't take it out on me. I'm not a spokesman for the wrongdoings of the churches of this planet. But now that you've registered your complaint, I'll certainly see that it gets to be known to the ones who are responsible. Oh, you're such a diplomat. Christianity in your world is divided beyond hope. I couldn't turn you onto a religion because I wouldn't know which church to send you to. Knowing Jesus is having the strength to look for wisdom and understanding, to live in perfect harmony with yourself and your fellow human beings, which is life's greatest joy. What you've just said is beautiful and inspiring. I've never met anybody who could say these things so simply. As long as we're on the subject, could you say a few things about the passage where it says the cardinals will be confronting the cardinals, the bishops will be against the bishops, and Satan will be walking among them? The church will crumble, and the world will be submerged in terror? According to heavenly messages, Rama said, Satan's evil forces, the Antichrist, and the false prophets, will be sitting on the thrones of organized religions. We both know the church doesn't practice Jesus's teachings, even though they use his name. They work for corruption and deceit. We've spoken about a political figure, the Antichrist, and now the Fatima message tells us that he'll make his headquarters right in the heart of the church. Revelation says that he'll have supernatural powers such as being able to make fire come down from heaven, which will deceive people, and that everyone will be given a mark on their foreheads or their right hands. Nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark, or name, or number of the beast. We're told that this number is the number of a man and his number is 666. 2. That number has a significant meaning to many people. There's been a great deal of speculation about it. For instance, many say it symbolizes the evil of man against God. Others say it could be the biblical Armageddon. This concept coincides with the world happenings nowadays. The Bible gives this number as a symbol of the apocalyptical beast of destruction. This number wasn't an invention of the prophets. It was taken out of the Great Pyramid to mean destruction, pain, shame and humiliation. It was given to the prophets without specific era, nation, man or religion. Some Bible scholars applied it to Babylon while others have been attaching it to the Catholic Church. Some even say that it could be Bolshevik communism taking over the world. Now it also says here in the Bible, he who has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. Could this be the name and number of someone, like for instance, Elizabeth II, Henry VIII? Good boy. What else? It would have to have the sixth next to his name, right? Right. I got it. She sealed my lips with her index finger. Don't say it, or write it. Here's a puzzle that calls for careful thought to solve. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. I sat there speechless for a long time. I didn't say anything, as a flood of mental images passed through my mind. It was past noon and very hot and dry. We were both thirsty, and my head had begun to ache. I realized that, up until now, my life had been simple, despite all the hassles and problems I'd had. Now everything seemed changed. I was part of Rama's plan. At some indefinable point, I had accepted a task, a responsibility, and because I now believed what she was saying, I couldn't turn back. We got up and walked toward the swimming pool, stopping for a drink of water. By the time we got out of the pool, my head had cleared somewhat. Rama, sensing my mood, was very quiet. Yet I'd never felt closer to her. The one thing that intrigued me the most was this man, the internationally famous world leader who was to be what Rama called the Antichrist. Finally, I could contain my curiosity no longer. Rama, what about this man? Does he know? He had to have read the Bible at one time or another. Why did he choose that name? Don't ask me things like that. It's a whole mess of ceremonies and barbaric rites that nobody understands. As far as reading the Bible is concerned, I don't think he realizes it. He probably doesn't even believe what's written in the Bible. His thirst for power and wealth is a much more consuming passion than his desire to discern the voice of the future speaking. I have nothing to go on but what you tell me. Be patient. You'll be able to read the signs now. You'll stumble onto a magazine containing an article about a pope, named Clement XV, who has his own church somewhere in France. And who, pray tell, is Clement XV? According to him, he should be the one sitting at the head of the church. Question, will this be written, or has it been written? It has. It's in one of the major magazines of the United States, and is serious journalistic information. Really? Now you can even predict what magazines I'll be reading. I can hardly wait. I don't want to say any more about the church. We've covered enough to keep you busy for a few months in your search for the truth. Just one more question, please. Okay. Just one. How is the believing church population going to take it when they find that their church is in the hands of Satan? The Fatima message says the world will be submerged in terror, Rama said, pointing to the copy of it. I can imagine the impact it would have. For some people, the church is their whole life, their heart and soul. I can only relate to it in terms of something like seeing my favorite television celebrity, someone whom I respect enormously, telling lies on the air. All my faith in humanity would be shattered overnight. Who is your favorite television star? Mary Tyler Moore, Telly Savalas, Walter Cronkite, Johnny Carson, others. You're right. It would make you sick to see such a thing. Rama, we didn't finish the Fatima message. Yes, we did. There are two more paragraphs, but they say the same things we've been discussing. Nothing really needs any more explanation. She paused, and looked at me. You look frightened. Why? I'm not frightened, I said, just sad, pensive. How do you expect me to feel after such a session? It makes you think, doesn't it? A mum. We went to get our usual lunchtime snack of fruit, cheese, wine and crackers. Placing our blankets by the river in a patch of green, we ate and took an afternoon siesta. That same day, I drove back to Lima. For the next few weeks I would be taking care of some Planet Earth 20th century, legitimate, international transactions. As soon as I could get away, having successfully handled my duties as a businessman, I found a few days I could spare to go back to the mountains and see Rama. In the interim, I had done some more reading on spiritualism and astral projection. I found three books that further prepared me for launching my spirit into space.